chapter 27. 1 Chronicles chapter 27. Hallelujah. It's been a good meeting. I'm wore out already. I mean, I've been through the emotional ringer tonight with all the praying and the singing and the shouting. It'll get high in here and then God will bring it down low. And it's wore me out. Amen. I want to talk to you about something tonight that's very important. And it's very overlooked. And the men of God this week are not absent from that. In almost every message that we've heard, it's been mentioned. And so I wanna pick up right where they left off. In 1 Chronicles chapter 27, how many of you, if y'all would stand, I know you've been sitting for a long time, if you would stand, we're going to read quite a bit. No, we're just going to read one verse. And it says in verse 28, "And over the olive trees and the sycamore trees that were in the low plains was Baal-Hanan, the Gittite. And over the cellars of oil was Joash." Heavenly Father, I thank You for what we've experienced tonight. God, You've ministered to hearts. You've done work tonight. And God, it's good to be with men that love You, women that love You. And God, I thank You for this church. And Lord, I thank You for their encouragement that they have placed upon us. And Lord, it's been a blessing to be here. And I'm like it said, it's good for us to be here. Hallelujah. The boys said on the mountain there, it's good for us to be here. But when we look again, all we see is Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. I ask for Your blessing and Your touch in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Y'all know the show Dirty Jobs. Y'all familiar with that? And just act real spiritual and act like you don't ever watch TV a day in your life. That ain't going to help you none right now. Amen. There's a show called Dirty Jobs where Mike Rowe went around and explored all the different jobs and things like that. And it was some of the things were fascinating and some of the things were you already know how they operated, but some you didn't know. And so it was pretty neat, and he always got dirty somewhere along the way. But how about having a job like Joash had? I mean, we always hear about God's mighty men. We've been talking about them tonight. Amen. Brother Mark preached the house down this morning talking about little David. Well, little David had some mighty men. Amen. And they were, I mean, some men. And they're listed in 2 Samuel chapter 23. You got people like Dino who lifted up a spear against 800 men. I mean, that's unheard of, man. My goodness. And then you got old Eleazar, when everyone else retreated, he fought along, his hand cleaved to the sword. It was stuck to the sword. Amen. And you got old Shammah there, who defended a field full of peas when nobody else would. And so you got David's mighty warriors. But I want to talk about, that nobody else wants to talk about anymore, is God's mighty workers. Because let's just face it, the ministry is about people. And you can have a man unctionized, full of the Holy Ghost, preaching like forked lightning, but if he ain't got nobody to preach to, bless your heart, it ain't going to do a whole lot of good. Amen. And God unctionizes people for other people. Amen. And listen, you may not think that your job is important and it's all important and you may not ever get the recognition and you might not ever, your name might not ever be in light and you might not ever get praise for what you do, but I'm telling you there's a God in heaven that keeps perfect record tonight and He's got a book of remembrance and your name be written in it. Amen. Amen. You may be 13 years old, 12 years old, 10 years old, and you think nobody knows the things that I'm doing. God knows, friend. And He keeps record. Hallelujah. This man's name is Joash, and he kept the oil. He lived down in the cellars. And that's what he done, was kept the oil. That's an important job, man. I'm going to tell you how important that job is tonight. Before we leave here, I'm going to explain why that was so important. And I'm telling you, your job's important. Whatever God's called you to do, and whatever God's burdened you to do, my goodness, friend, it's important. And don't let the devil talk you out of it. Don't let some long-nosed Baptist hussy talk you out of it. You just keep doing what God wants you to do. Amen. Joash means Jehovah fired. Jehovah put a little fire in you. Amen. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Now, first of all, I want you to see the duties of his job. He was over the cellars. He watched, he guarded, and he managed the cellars. He was a cellar dweller. Not everybody signing up to go down in the cellar. Not everybody signing up to go down there and smell like mothballs. Amen. Yeah. But look, I want to tell you, it was important because he kept the oil. And oil in those days, just like it is today, was very valuable. This is the olive oil. Amen. And it was used for so many things. It was used for fuel. The tabernacle lights were never supposed to go out. We heard that this week. Amen. Do you know what they fueled them with? Olive oil. Somebody had to keep that. Somebody had to watch that. Somebody had to make sure that there wasn't something getting into that, something stealing that, or something contaminating that. Hallelujah. Thank God for some people that'll watch the oil. Amen. That'll stand guard over the oil. Hallelujah. Amen. And there's a problem, you know, in the tabernacle when the lights go out. Because there's no revelation when the lights go out. Now, Samuel, he's down there, and Samuel was a boy, and he went down to Eli, and God kept talking to him in the middle of the night and waking him up. And he'd run down there to the preacher, and he'd run down to the preacher, and he'd say, "Hey, did you call me?" And the preacher would say, "Boy, I didn't call you." And then he'd go back to bed, and God talked to him again. He'd run down to the preacher. And notice how the preacher's voice and God's voice sounded a whole lot like. Amen. Amen. So he runs back again and he says, "Boys, I'm gonna whoop you if you don't go back to bed." Amen. And then he said, "Oh, it's God talking to you." You know what had happened? The light went out in the tabernacle. No, Eli wasn't getting nothing from God. But that boy, God was going to speak to him. And you think, well, what? How important was that? It was pretty important. Yeah. Amen. Because you know what he told him? He told him what was going to happen to the man of God. And I appreciate, Eli, after it was all said and done, God told him what he told him. And he said, the next morning he said, "What'd God say? What'd God say? I know that I messed up and I let the lights go out because I didn't put oil in the lamp. Are y'all with me?" Yeah, he said, I know I've messed up, but give it to me straight. His first message, he is called to preach. God used him, and his first message was to tell the man of God that him and his kids were going to die. How would you like to have that for your first message? What do you think about that, Brother Evangelist? Amen. Going there to tell the preacher, said, "I got a message from God. You and your family's going to die." Because you let the light go out. Amen. We read in Matthew chapter 25 about those 10 virgins. That was, you know what the moral of that story was? No oil in the lamp. Amen. Not only is it used for fuel, but that oil was used for medicine. You look in Leviticus chapter 14, and when somebody had leprosy, you know what they'd do? They'd take blood and they'd take oil and they'd treat that leprosy with it. Take some hyssop and rub that on. They often used it for many different things. Even today, they have what you call essential oils. And y'all probably got some in your house. Amen. And a lot of that's cut with olive oil. Hallelujah. Thank God for the oil. Amen. I'll never forget that story of the Good Samaritan. Amen. And he went down, and you know he found him. I thank God for those that are on ditch patrol, brother. Amen. Thank God for people that are still on ditch patrol looking for those that are wounded and lying in a ditch and wasn't too religious and too proud to help somebody. Amen. And so when he got him, found him, he poured oil and wine in his wounds and paid the price at the end. Hallelujah. Amen. But you know, this oil was also used for commerce. Do you know that in 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 10, 11, you'll find out that Solomon traded oil that was from the sellers. He traded it for cedars to build the temple with. Amen. We know it was used for worship. Every sacrifice was anointed with oil. Amen. Utensils, people in the service, and then also the king would get anointed. And the prophets anointed. I'm telling you, oil is necessary. But there were some disadvantages of his job. It was an unnoticed job. When you're down there by yourself, start talking to yourself. Amen? Yeah, when you're all alone, you start talking to yourself. And then you'll start answering yourself. Amen. It was an unnoticed job. It was an uncomfortable job. I'm sure it did smell like mothballs down there. And if you're over 40, you understand what I'm talking about. Amen? But let me put it in a way that you younger people can understand. Old people used to have mothballs. They'd put them in the cellar. Keep snakes and stuff away. Amen. And it mothballs don't smell that great. But you can tell if you're around an old person because they smell like mothballs. Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about? But let me put it where you can understand today because you don't understand the mothball analogy. Let me get another one. If y'all ever been to a restaurant where you went in that they fried food, how many of you have worked in a restaurant where they fried food? How many of you know that when you after you worked and you come home, you smelled like fried food? Amen? You was around that all day. I'm talking about the kind of restaurant you go in when you sit down to eat. You know it's a good one when you stick to the table. You put your elbows on the table, and then when you go to pull them up, you go to walk it. Give me double whatever you got. You're in the right place. Amen. Amen. You know you're in good company. Amen. I mean, it was uncomfortable. He couldn't tell what was going on outside. Didn't know if it was raining or didn't know if it was sunshine because he's down in the cellar. It's an unappreciated job. We read in verse 25 about Asmoneth. He was over the king's treasure. Now, you can imagine these two boys walking in the grocery store together. Everybody knew Asmoneth, and man, wouldn't everybody like his job, man? He gets to count the king's money, man. How glorious is that to know what the king's bounty is? But here's the other guy over here, Joash, who smells like mothballs, and all he does, it ain't very interesting, he just keeps soul. Amen. I noticed that in our world in which we live, in our Christian world which we live in, there's people that get all the attention, and then there's some that don't ever get any attention. But I'm here to tell you tonight that God knows your name, and God's got a record book, and He's a keeping record tonight. Amen. But I think about this. Now I'm fixing to get somewhere. I think about the delight of his job. Now, preachers, we're all supposed to be keeping oil.
Yes, sir.
Amen. But I'm just sure you got to learn to help yourself every now and then. You understand that you got to learn to encourage yourself in the Lord every now and then. Every time that he's seen them lamps burning in the palace, amen. I'm sure he just kind of, That was out of stock number 57 right there. Amen. Went to the palace. Hallelujah. Amen. And listen, when you get somebody that's got a little oil on them in your church, and you get somebody that's been a blessing to somebody else, you can say, hey, I've done a good job of keeping the oil. Amen. Amen. I'm sure every time he went to the temple and he smelt those cedar boards in that temple, he said, yeah, we traded for them. It took us 3 big vats of oil every month to get paid for them cedars. Amen. He'd smell them in. Hallelujah. I believe every time he saw somebody coming back from the doctor, amen, and they had a shiny spot on them where the doctor had used a little bit of that olive oil for the medicine, he said, that come from vat 42? Amen. God's using it. Amen. What would happen if he hadn't done his job? Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 1 talks about an apothecary and one night of folly. It's like a fly getting in an apothecary's mixer. Y'all listening to me? Y'all quit listening to preaching? Look up here. I'm trying to help you. And I'm trying to even be funny on purpose every now and then so you'll stay awake. My goodness. But listen, if a fly got in the ointment, it messed it all up. It sent forth a stinking savor. Now, an apothecary, y'all young people don't know what that is. That's a modern-day pharmacist, amen. And he would mix up stuff for perfumes and for anointing oils and everything else. But I'm going to tell you, let one little thing get in there, messed it all up. And it says in Ecclesiastes, that's like one night of folly. You're doing good, and then one night out on the town, it's like a fly gets in the mess. It messes the whole mess up. Amen. One night. It sends forth a stinking savor. Could you imagine what a dead mouse, would do? He's a keeping the oil. Well, you say, well, I don't even know what that means, preacher. Well, oil is a type of the Holy Ghost. Oil is a type of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, all the way through the Old Testament, and even in the New Testament. So he was guarding the oil. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost lives within you, and you're to guard the things that are going on? You are a cellar dweller. You're supposed to guard the oil that is within you. Now, I know this modern crowd. I know this modern day of you Joel Osteen loving blinky type preaching. I mean, they'll be telling you that you've got within yourself the ability, all of this stuff. Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to disagree with that a whole lot, because the Bible says this: there is treasure in earthen vessels. Why? Not because the vessel's any good. It's because what's in there. There's some oil in there. Amen. So we read a story in the Old Testament about a widow that had two boys. And the two boys, they was in a mess. The family was in a mess. Daddy had died, and the bank was coming to take. A borrower is servant to the lender. And they was coming to reap and say, "What you got to pay me with?" She said, "I ain't got nothing. I got these two boys." She said, "Well, I'm going to take them." So she goes, "What am I going to do?" She runs down there to the man of God. And you know what the man of God said? Said, "What you got in your house?" And she said, "I ain't got nothing in my house. Save this oil." Save this oil. I got a little oil. Well, hallelujah. Oh, bless His name. I got a little oil in here. Amen. So he said, "That'll do. I tell you what you do. You go to your neighbors and you borrow. Not a few." That's King James for get a bunch. Amen. And go get the vessels and get a bunch of them and bring them in the house. And you go in the house. Listen, and I ain't too far off at this if you read the text. He said, "Bring them in the house and shut the door behind you." And start filling them up. So she come in and she shut the door and she started filling up. And I could see she'd start out a little 2-pound coffee can. Amen. And she'd take her little bit of oil. She had this oil and a little bit of crude. And she started taking that right there. And she filled that 2-pound coffee. And they said, "The oil stayed." And she said, "Bring that gallon milk jug over here." And she got that gallon milk jug and she looked at that and she said, "That thing's about half full." And she started pulling in that milk jug and filled that milk jug. Looked at it and the oil stayed. Amen. She said, "Bring me that wash tub over here." Amen. And she filled that all up and she took it back to the man of God. Said, "I filled it up." And he said, "Sell what you got to get yourself out of debt and live off the rest." Are y'all listening to what I'm trying to tell you tonight? There is some treasure in earthen vessels. Amen. Amen. What you need to do every now and then is shut the door in the house. Amen. And have a Holy Ghost meltdown in there with your kids until it's running out their ears. Amen. What you need to have in church every now and then is some oil poured out. I'm so sick of this generation thinks they got everything figured out, mapped out, and laid out. But I'm going to tell you what you need is you need somebody to start pouring some oil. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. You know when the service gets a little dry? When the service gets a little dry, let me tell you what I do as a pastor. I start looking. I'm up here, I'm sitting up there, right there. I sit right there and I'm looking. Who's got the oil? Who's got the oil? I mean, it's dry in here. We're not shouting on Victory of Jesus, and we ought to be shouting it. I heard an old story. Amen. How God saved me. Amen. Woo! And then I'm looking. Who's got that oil? Hallelujah. Who's got that oil? They need to pour some out. Somebody needs to stand up and let it be running out. Hallelujah. Amen. Did you know oil? Oil is a type of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." That's ancient talk. In Baptist circles. That's only used by charismatics. And they don't even know what they're talking about. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, hey, do you remember that day on Pentecost? They said, "Hey, these boys are drunk." So they're drunk and new wine. So basically what they was telling them, said they're drunk on root beer and Coca-Cola. Because new wine's something you squeeze out of the cluster, amen. And Peter said, "They I ain't denying I ain't drunk. Is everybody all right? He said, I ain't denying I ain't drunk. He said, they're not drunk as you suppose. But they had some juice from another world. Amen. They had a little juice from another world. Do you know what our young people need? They need some juice from another world. Do you know what our services need? They need to be dripping with some oil that's from another world. Amen. Yeah. Somebody's got to keep it. How have you been doing keeping your oil? When's the last time you poured some out? When's the last time that you poured some of your oil out? Oh. You bunch of frozen mess. I wouldn't give you 15 cents for somebody that's so dignified they couldn't ever lose something every now and then. God help. Mark Green, you're helping me tonight, brother. Amen. The way you acted all service, that's helped me. Amen. I mean, he's old. You squeeze, you hug him over there, and he's old coming out of his ears. Hallelujah. Amen. We need some folks with some oil. With some oil. But see, we keep it bottled up. And we walk around like we're somebody. I'm thankful that we got the preachers we got in this room, but y'all don't ever turn into snobs, please. Because I'll preach about you from behind the pulpit. I'll preach to you about you. Amen. Because there ain't anything worse than somebody that ought to have something that don't. When somebody calls on you to sing, there ought to be a little oil dripping off of it. When somebody calls you to preach, you ought to have a little oil dripping off of you. When somebody calls you to stand up and testify, there ought to be some oil in it. Somebody say amen. I remember Jesus, and I'm almost done. Jesus, he said, John chapter 7, he cried on the last day of the feast. That feast, the tabernacle, they'd take water and they'd get that water and they'd go down to the pool of Shiloh and they'd dip that water out and they'd run it up to the temple and they'd pour it over the altar. They had a little funnel and they'd pour it over the altar. And I remember in the days, when God gave them drink out there in the wilderness. But they had forgotten all about it. It was just a routine. It was just a ceremony. It was just another meeting that they had every year. But Jesus had all he could handle. Amen? And he broke some dispensational lines. Because he said, I can't take no more of this. He said, if any man thirst, let him come. And out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And the Bible says, and this he spake of the Holy Ghost. I mean, he's the Lord. He can jump over dispensational lines if he wants to. Amen. He can do whatever he wants to. But they wouldn't get a drink. They wouldn't get the oil. My goodness. You remember that widow of Zarephath? Y'all remember her? When the man of God said, come, would you make me a cake? She had two sticks. She said, I'm going to gather these up. I'm going to make cake. Maybe that's it. We're out of food. This famine that you pronounced, amen, on this land, we're going to die right here. And you know what the Bible said? The man of God said, well, why don't you make me a cake first? And when she did that, she noticed that the meal in that barrel still had some. And the Bible says that the meal in the barrel didn't run out, nor the cruse of oil, but it stayed. Amen. Hallelujah. See, do you realize that when you got born again, you got the Holy Ghost? The Bible says, and it was mentioned this morning, the Bible says in 1 John said that you're anointed. And that anointing not only abideth, it liveth, it stays on you. So that lives inside of you. That anointing. That's what they do. They just anointed somebody in the Old Testament, they'd pour the oil over them. Well, God's done that on the inside.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
And it abides in you. You don't have to go down to Jimmy Swaggart's.
Right.
Amen. Amen. You don't have to see Benny Hinn to get some fire on the choir. That anointing lives in you. If you'd only recognize what you're keeping. What God has put you in charge of. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And the oil is on the inside. Listen up, church member. Listen up. God has saved you. God has done something for you. God has called you. God has done all these things. He's given you the oil. When's the last time you broke it out and used it? When's the last time that you just got so full that Brother Andy, he didn't call on you? Or the preacher, wherever you're at, your church, he didn't call on you. Amen. You're sitting in here. You're just having church like everybody else. Amen. And then next thing you know, you're getting full. Amen. You're starting to get full back here. You're starting to get happy. Amen. Something's bubbling up in you. There's some oil starting to boil in here. Amen. And then you just jump out. Hey, Brother Andy, can I say something for the Lord? Now it's all got to be put in a bulletin. It's got to be rehearsed. Somebody's got to be called upon. And it's lost its power and effectiveness. Pour out the oil, man. Notice what the Bible says. And it says, well, about that woman, when she poured that oil out, it said, and the oil stayed. Preachers, evangelists, listen. You'll never exhaust it. Brother Ellis, I appreciate you, brother. God bless you, man. I appreciate you and your family. Keep pouring oil. It ain't like you're going to get down there to Texas and run out of it. Amen. And North Carolina, South Carolina, wherever you go, brother, amen. Just keep pouring it out. Y'all kids, just keep pouring it out. Just keep pouring it out. Listen, God's got a never-ending supply. Amen. Hey, Brother Jerry, you're over at Pottersville. Just keep pouring oil out. Amen. Just keep pouring it out. It'll be all right. Mr. Deaton, just keep pouring it out, brother. Hey, Mr. Randolph, just keep pouring out the oil. Mr. Swan, just keep pouring it out. God has a never-ending supply. Oh, but I get tired, preacher. I'm weary. Don't worry about it. You've got to learn to enjoy the things that are around you and will help you get you through. When things ain't going your way and the devil comes in and storms out, but there's that someone. Somebody in that congregation. They've been keeping oil. They come into church and it looks like they've been to the doctor. Amen. I mean, they're just shining. It's all over them. And they coming in and say, man, I'm ready to have church today. And you can just sit back and go, You can joy in the fact that you've been keeping the oil. Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, that you'd help us. You've placed something special in us when you saved us. You're not only just getting us to heaven and we don't have to go to hell, but God, you've done something in us. God, you've given us you inside of us that we might pour you out to a thirsty world.